So as I mentioned, it's been a very busy and exciting weekend. We had our diocesan convention this weekend, which was wonderful. It was down at St. Paul's Cathedral, and we had our representative. We are very well represented at Holy Cross, let me put it that way. Not only do we have our delegates down there, but we had Alan, who was a recipient of a Servant Ministry Award. So a round of applause for Alan. And I'm proud to say that we now have two members of Holy Cross on the Executive Council, May and Judy Cater. So we're well represented in diocesan governance. And it was also really, really exciting to see our very own Maggie as one of the Youth Leadership Council members who on Friday was helping out with the service, and she even got to sit and have dinner with the bishop. So that was very, very exciting to see. But it was very eventful and good weekend. And one of the things that was most exciting for me was with it, and it fit well with it being Veterans Day, was we had a visit from the newly consecrated bishop suffragan for the Armed Forces and Federal Ministries, Bishop Ann Ratonia. And I had the privilege and opportunity to meet with her this week and to get to know her better, and then also to get to know some of the chaplains, excuse me, Episcopal priests at Camp Pendleton, and also Navy chaplains down at 32nd Street. So it was a good fit for Veterans Day, I think. And then, of course, that was kind of a focal point of the whole convention with a service project that was done for sailors that were deployed. And so this is, of course, a weekend where we honor our veterans. And it's kind of a switch, in a way, with what we've been doing throughout the season so far, because this has been, we've had All Saints and All Souls, and we've kind of been focusing on honoring those people who came before us, right? The people, the faithful departed who have gone before us. And one of those things that a lot of people I find don't really get is the fact that Veterans Day is when we recognize and celebrate those who have served or are serving who are still with us. Memorial Day is for recognizing those who have gone before us. And so this is a time where we shift our attention to honoring the people who are serving and have served that are still with us. And as I'm thinking about this and looking at the gospel for this week, I found that, wow, the gospel really fits quite perfectly for Veterans Day. And you're probably looking at me going, okay, how's that possible? What do the 10 bridesmaids have to do with Veterans Day? Well, I will tell you. It's because at its root, this is a story about something that for all of us veterans who have served in any capacity, there's something to it that is very familiar to all of us, and that's staying awake. Staying awake, staying vigilant, keeping the watch. Right? If the one thing that I think all of us who have served, whatever branch you served in, whatever your MOS was, whatever rank you were, there's something that we all have in common, and that's that we, at one time or another, and probably for a great deal of time, had to stand watch. All right? Starting in boot camp with standing fire watch and moving all the way up and, being watch commanders or that kind of thing, being responsible for whole ships or whole bases, we're still a big part of our job in the military is keeping watch. It's so important that, at least when I went in, it was something that we had to start thinking about even before we went to boot camp. Something that you all veterans will be very familiar with would be the general orders of a sentry. Right? These are, for those of you who are not familiar, there's a set of rules or commands that we're all encouraged to memorize that apply to standing watch. And these are so important that before I even went to boot camp, I was given this book and told, you need to memorize these before you show up because you're going to be drilled on these. Now, in the Marine Corps and in the Navy, there are 13 general orders. I've been told that in the Army and the Air Force, they've distilled them down to 4. And that's okay because I know that's all they can handle. Oh. 2? Oh, wow. Even better. Got to keep it simple. But when I recite some of these orders, I think for some of you, no matter how long it's been since you've been in, they'll ring in your head immediately. I know they were for me. Of course, the very first one is to take charge of this post and all government property in view. And then to walk your post in a military manner, keeping always on the alert and observing everything that takes place within sight or hearing. Some other ones would be to quit your post only when properly relieved, to talk to no one except in the line of duty, and to be especially watchful at night. And during the time for challenging, to challenge all persons on or near your post and allow no one to pass without proper authority. That duty to watch is something that for folks who've served, it's not something that you just did out of duty or obligation. It wasn't something that you did just because you'd get in trouble if you didn't, although you definitely would. A big part of the reason why one would stay awake and stand the watch is because you know that when you're sleeping, somebody else is watching out for you. And you're able to rest because you know that one of your comrades is out there standing the watch. So when it's your turn, of course, you're going to do the same. There's a prayer in our prayer book, and it's in the Order for Compline. And it's one of two prayers that are attributed to St. Augustine. And I think it's a beautiful prayer that speaks to this. And many of you might be familiar with it. It says, O God, your unfailing providence sustains the world we live in and the life we live. Watch over those both night and day who work while others sleep. And grant that we may never forget that our common life depends upon each other's toil. I think this is a beautiful prayer because it acknowledges how God's providence works itself out through the actions of people who are doing something as simple as just staying awake and watching so that others can sleep. It's that same sense of mutual responsibility then that I think that Jesus is speaking to in this parable today. Jesus is telling this kind of strange story about the bridesmaids to his disciples, and he's telling it at a time where it's kind of near to the end of his ministry career. This is from what's called the Olivet Discourse, which means it was a speech that he delivered on the Mount of Olives when he had come into Jerusalem and was basically in the last week of his life. He knew that he was going to be leaving his disciples soon, and he was trying to prepare them for then how would they live in the face of the persecution and the trials and the challenges that they would be experiencing. Jesus uses this word, gregoreo, which is where the name Gregory comes from. And it's an interesting word because it actually is a form of another Greek word, agairo. Now, the word agairo means to be awake, like to wake up. The word gregoreo is a form of that word which means to stay awake. In other words, not just to wake up, but to remain in a state of awakeness, in a state of awareness, in a state of vigilance. It's the same word that Jesus uses in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asks his disciples, stay awake, watch and pray with me. That same word. And I think I can say with some assurance that my fellow veterans have a very keen understanding of what this means and how important it is. Now, I'm not going to deny that our relationship in our culture with our military is kind of fraught and complex. Even as a veteran, I can say I think that a lot of times we overly romanticize and even idolize military service in unhealthy ways. It's interesting, I was having a conversation with one of the chaplains, and he had said how what he hears from people is that the military is either totally woke or is completely right-wing fascist. And it's interesting how you could be both of those things at the same time is really confusing to me. But the truth is, of course, that the military is a microcosm of our society. You have folks from all sorts of different walks of life, folks from all sorts of different ideological perspectives. And as Christians, I do think it's important that we do wrestle with the terrible realities of what war is about and violence and killing and what it means for nation states to wage war on each other. But at the same time, I can attest that the military can be a place where there can be virtues and disciplines that are taught and fostered in ways that are not really done largely in our surrounding culture. Of course, it's not perfect. No institution is, but it does a pretty good job. Richard Rohr's noted that our culture lacks any kind of significant rites of passage, especially for young men. And he says that the military is really one of the only institutions in our society that does a somewhat decent job of helping that rite of passage to happen. And so what are these virtues? What are these disciplines that are learned by our military folks? I think there are some that are actually very applicable to the work that Jesus calls us to. The first of these would be simply preparedness, being prepared and being able to be steady in the face of uncertainty. Now, our communities, our faith communities, and especially, I think, here at Holy Cross, have seen how this plays out in real life. I think the reason that we are still here today worshiping together is because of the discipline and preparedness of our community in taking the time to be prepared for the unknown. We could not have anticipated a pandemic. None of us could. But we had the ingrained resilience in this community to be able to weather that, not just respond to it, but to be able to hold steady through it. It's interesting that if you go back to the parable, you know, we talk about staying awake, but all the bridesmaids actually fell asleep, right? So the real difference is not the ones that stayed awake, but it was the ones who were prepared, the ones who had made the preparation beforehand, so that when they were suddenly awoken, they were already ready. And I think our veterans know about that. Another thing that we learn is that sometimes what we're called to do is just to wait and to watch. Of course, we know that hurry up and wait is kind of one of those mottos of the military, right? You do a lot of waiting around. There's the joke that you know, at least in the Marine Corps, your commanding officer tells you that you need to be 15 minutes early for everything, right? So your commanding officer says that, so then your company gunny will tell you, well, you need to be 15 minutes earlier than that. And then your platoon sergeant will tell you it's 15 minutes earlier than what the gunny said, and then your squad leader tells you 15 minutes earlier than that, and then pretty soon you're an hour early and you're just standing around going, okay, what are we doing here? But it's that idea of showing up and simply having the patience to wait and to watch and not always to have to take action just because we feel like we need to be doing something. To be able to stand and to watch. And then finally, the discipline that I think that we learn is stewardship. And of course, it's perfect timing, right? Why am I going to talk about stewardship today? Because I'm going to be talking about it for the next 4 weeks, so you better get used to it. But stewardship, at its core, is taking collective responsibility for making sure that we have what we need to face whatever challenges we might face. Right? It's not about just keeping the lights on. It's not about making sure that we've got enough supplies for today. But it's about making sure that we're in it for the long haul, that we're prepared for anything, that we have the resources that we need to face the things that we can't even dream up in our heads, and that we're able to take care of the gifts that God has given us. And so today, of course, we celebrate and honor our veterans, and we say things like, thank you for your service, and we express our gratitude, and rightfully so. But let's not forget that all of that work of standing the watch, of being prepared, of staying awake, of being good stewards, those are things that are modeled for us by our folks who've served in the military, but it's also something that all of us are called to do as followers of Christ. And this new world that God is making, God's dream where a world exists where we don't need to prepare for war, where swords can be turned into plowshares, making that world requires us to be vigilant now. It requires us to live as if, to learn how to depend on each other, to learn how to practice resilience. And it might seem ironic that the practices of preparing for war, the disciplines that are learned by our folks in the military, could also show us ways that we can prepare for peace and live in peace. But I think this is the very message that God is speaking to us through the example of our veterans. So my prayer for us this day is that our veterans would be blessed for their willingness to sacrifice for the good of others, and that all of us would follow in their example of staying awake, standing the watch for each other, and remembering that we're all connected in our common humanity, and we all share this responsibility to watch and to care for one another as our own sisters and brothers in Christ. I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.